Our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 6. What is a church? We came through the book of Luke looking at various texts from the gospel. The Lord began to sow the seeds of a look at church truth, the most needed subject in the day and time in which we're living. I have said a few times that never has there been a time that Faith Baptist Church has been in more danger than she is today. And it's all about this thing called church truth, what we believe about the Lord's true New Testament church. So we have kind of moved into a look at what is a church? What is a church? We have seen that it is a work of the Lord. The Lord authorizes, the Lord starts the work of a church. He adds numbers to that body. Over time, he takes away from that body. He maintains that body, and it is all of his doing. And it is, I have said repeatedly, wondrous in our eyes. And if we can just get a hold of church truth, it'll bless us and it'll relieve all the stress and all the anxiety that is so typically placed upon people in the work of the Lord. It's not up to us. Just take a chill pill. It's his business. Lord, help us to trust him. He adds to it. He takes away from it. He maintains it. He sustains it. And it's exactly what he wants it to be. It's exactly what he wants it to be. We have looked at how that it's not only a work of the Lord, but it is a called out assembly. It's not a building. It is not everybody that is here gathered in this building. It's not everybody who says they are saved everywhere on this earth at any given time. It is a called out assembly. That's where our focus will be mostly tonight. We've considered our part in the equation. Our part in the equation. Our part is to maintain the health, to seek to maintain the health of this church as the Lord would allow us, and to be zealous in watching over the health of Faith Baptist Church. As members, you should seek and desire your pastor to lead this church in the maintaining of the health of this church and this body. And if you won't do that, it'll fall to him. And if he won't do it, then sickness will incent and a church can die. So our part of the equation is maintaining the health of the Lord's church. The church is not everybody that's here. The church is not everybody on the face of this earth who says they're saved, as we've already said. It is, again, not a building, but it is an assembly. That kind of church the Lord began during his personal ministry, And he sent that kind of church forth into the world to multiply after its kind. The Lord started with two human beings, a man and a woman. He sent them forth to multiply after their kind. And they did that, and they populated the earth. We're all testimonies to that. Well, Jesus Christ has organized his church, called his church, placed his church in this world, authorized his church. He sees the church as his bride. He calls the church his bride. And he works and leads through that church. And that kind of church, the church that was started at Jerusalem, went forward and one by one has reproduced after its kind and has maintained that kind of a church up to this very hour. Up to this very hour. It's called perpetuity. The Lord started his kind of a church during his personal ministry. He sent it forth to multiply after that kind, and it has continued to multiply after its kind and will continue to multiply after its kind until Jesus comes. Simply put, the kind of church Jesus started while he was upon this earth, the church at Jerusalem, must still be around somewhere today. If it cannot be found somewhere today, then the Lord lied. And he can't lie. He doesn't lie. And we even hate to even use such phrases as to imply that's the case. He started his kind of a church, authorized its going forth, and it has continued to remultiply after its kind and will until Jesus Christ comes again. As Jesus Christ started his kind of a church, the devil started his kind of church. Just as the Lord started one and sent it forth to multiply after its kind, the devil started having false churches sprout up and jump up, muddying the waters, sending a smoke screen, so the true church cannot be found or discerned. And it has probably grown and flourished faster or more in number than the Lord's true church. Multitudes of false churches were in existence around 300 AD. And it's around that time that we believe the Catholic Church comes into view. And what is called loosely Christianity joins with the government of Rome. And you have an organized denomination called Catholicism. And it still exists today. And we find it and we believe it to be found in the New Testament. We believe it to be found in the book of Revelation, where that universal church will be the church of the Antichrist, will be the church that rises up claiming to be the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and will be a great enemy to the people of God upon the earth during that time, especially the time of the tribulation. Now we come to this thought, what is a church? And we've given you this definition repeatedly. And I still haven't been able to get peace with how I can implement making you write that out. I don't know if we ever will at this point. I don't know if maybe when we're done with this definition, I give you a test and see if you can write this definition out. But here's the definition that we have put before you. What is a church? It is a called out assembly. A called out assembly of baptized believers. Of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. I see that definition as hitting all the bases. Sure, it may not be perfect, but it hits all the bases. What a church is. It is a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. That's the best summation definition I have come across during the years that I've been in the ministry. It can get complicated and it can become lengthy, but simply put, that's what a church is. You take that statement, you take that definition, and the key is the word believers in the middle of that phrase. Believers are the called out one. Believers are the ones that make up the assembly. The believers are the ones who are baptized. Believers are the ones who are covenanted together in faith. And so we define a church as a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. If you're curious, have any interest, or think you know, in December of 2022, I began a series of messages on what we believe. And it continued to January 18th of 2024. And the first lesson on that series of messages on what we believe had to do with this subject, the church. And so, I think, with the exception of mentioning it repeatedly on Sunday evenings leading up to this, that's the last time. But again, it can't be looked upon enough. It is with great zeal we must guard the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to guard it with great zeal, we need to know what it is. We need to know how to define it. This is important stuff. You think about Sister Edie. She made a profession of faith last week. Church received that profession of faith, extended to her the right hand of fellowship. And to get technical about it, yesterday she wasn't a member of Faith Baptist Church, though she had gone here for years and years and years. But she was baptized this morning. And as the sun sets today on May the 4th, and no, I'm not going to tell you or hope the 4th is with you or anything. But she wasn't a church member yesterday, though we had received her on a promise of baptism. Now that she's been baptized, she is a member. She is a member. And she has pledged and promised, as I summarized it this morning, to be here, to be faithful to being here, and she has promised to live right out there. And so she wasn't a member of Faith Baptist Church yesterday, but now she is. And she has a great responsibility to this church. This church has a great responsibility to her. We all have a great responsibility to each other. And we need to know what the church is. What the church is all about. If we're going to make this need fulfilled. And I've looked at it and I thought, some churches have what they call new convert classes. They have Sunday school classes or classes of some sort for new church members. And that just seems to be very problematic when those that are saved are few and far between and great periods of space between them, and she'd be in that class all by herself for a long time. I thought, well, growing up in this church and her parents being members of this church, they should have charged her. They should have been teaching her about the Lord's church in the years leading up to her becoming a member. We have Sunday school classes where students go through the study of God's Word at their various levels. We have preaching and teaching in the church all the time. And I don't know what the easier answer is, but I hope she understands she's part of something spectacular and precious. She wasn't yesterday, but she is now. And we're so blessed that she's a part of this number. It is a great blessing to us that she is. So God help us to take the subject seriously. Now, a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. We'll take, first of all, as brief as possible, this subject of called out. We're talking about believers. Believers are the context or the theme of that definition. These believers are called out ones. They're called out ones. But let me ask you, in this definition, a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith, what are these believers called out from? What are these believers called out from? We would first want to jump and say, well, that means they've been called out from the world. That's really not accurate. The saved, when they are lost and called to salvation, called to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they're called out from the world. But a believer is somebody who's already been saved. Right? We're talking about believers in this definition. We're talking about called out believers. Well, what have these believers been called out from? They've been called out of the masses or the number of the saved. And we need to understand that. See, not just Catholicism, but most of the denominations of the world believe that the church is all the saved everywhere on the earth at any given time. That's not true. All the saved of the earth and all the saved that are on the earth at any given time can make up the family of God. We can even say, well, there's an element that they are a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ if they're truly saved. But the church is not universal. The church is not all the saved. So the church is a called out assembly of believers. What have they been called out from? They've been called out from the masses of those who say they are saved to become a part of the Lord's local church. And if you're here and you're saved and you're a member of Faith Baptist Church, that happened to you at some time or another. Can you remember when that happened to you? When you were saved and you knew you were saved and you were as happy as a lark, but then the Lord called you out from all of those people who are saved and He called you into His church. Can you remember that great blessed day? I can remember at the age of 9 years old when the Lord called me out to be a member of Gethsemane Baptist Church and brought me to scriptural baptism. And I remember the thrill and the excitement that I felt being called out from the saved to be a part of one of the Lord's churches. So these believers that have been called out are just that. They're called out from amongst the believers to be a part of the Lord's church. And we're back here in Luke. And I know it's so repetitious, but there's no better way to learn than by repetition. We learn more and we remember more by repetition. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 15, in those days Jesus went into a mountain to pray, verse 12, and he continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples. This isn't deep. This isn't hard to understand if you'll just pay attention, if I'll just pay attention. In these days that the Lord was working, early here in the book of Luke, he went up into a mountain to pray. We would say he went out to pray to seek the leadership of his Father on whom he would choose to be his apostles, whom he would choose to set in that first church that will sprout up, if you would, there eventually at Jerusalem. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Seems like he called all of his disciples, all of those in the area that would be described as a disciple, a believer, a follower, a student of Christ. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them, you see that? From all of those disciples, from them he chose 12, and those are all listed there. And in verse number 19, he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. He went and he prayed. He asked God to lead him. He asked God to show him who he would choose. He chose those 12. He chose those 12 out of the multitudes, out of the disciples, out of the masses of believers that surely would have gone back even to the preaching of the apostle, or not the apostle, but John the Baptist. And he chose those 12 out of those many disciples. And he came down with those 12. And he stood in the plain, and he stood there with the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people. You see, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people who are saved here. But the Lord, from those, chose 12, set those first in his church. And he comes down and he stands there with those 12. So they were called out. Of these saved masses, these saved multitudes of people, and were made the foundation of that first church at Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 10, you find the same list. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples," he had many disciples, he had many followers, many had been prepared through the preaching of John to be a part of that kingdom when he came. Masses of people were around him, some identified as disciples and some of them just sightseers. Many, many people, but he had chose 12 to be with him. He had ordained 12 to be with him, and we read about their choosing, being chosen in Luke 6. And he calls unto them those 12, and he gives them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are, and he lists those. These 12, verse number 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather into the lost house of the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So these call out believers are called out from the saved, called out from, let's just say, the masses of those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The word for church in our New Testament comes from the Greek word ekklesia. The Greek word ekklesia, which means a calling out, an assembly, a congregation. And near as I've been able to understand, when they came to ekklesia, they didn't choose church because it was a translation of what ekklesia meant. They chose the word church because in its definition it best matched what the definition of ekklesia was. An ekklesia is a called out assembly. Ekklesia is a calling out, an assembly, a congregation. And they chose church because one of the principal meanings for that word best fit the meaning of ekklesia. And at the very heart of the word church, 115 times where the word ekklesia is replaced with church, 115 times the ekklesia is a called out assembly. And that's what a church is, a called out assembly of believers, called out from amongst the believers. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I won't have you do that, but I will read verse 1 of chapter 1 and 2. Where it says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth." He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the called out assembly, the called out assembly of believers at Corinth. And in chapter 12, verse number 18, we read this last week, who knows how many times we've read it in recent weeks. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." The Lord has set everyone he has set. The Lord has set everyone he has set in the body as it has pleased him. He does not set every saved person in the body. He does not set every believer in one of the Lord's churches. But everybody that he does set in a local church, he sets them there. And he does it as it pleases him. And there are multitudes of people who the Lord never sets in a Baptist church. This is not something that is common. This is something that we're privileged to be a part of when we talk about the Lord's church. In verse number 28, we've read it recently, and who knows, only God knows how often. And God has set some in the church. Don't have to read any bit further. He doesn't set everyone. He doesn't set all believers. It's not a universal church. It's a local visible assembly. And he set some in those local visible assemblies. It is God's doing, as we have seen in previous weeks. In the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up at Herod with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they, who's the they? The they of those referred to in verse number 1. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. In the church at Antioch were all these people. Not everybody was in the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch was not all the saved people on the earth at that particular time. But there were some who the Lord had added. There were some that the Lord had assembled together as a body there in Antioch, and the Holy Spirit called that church, that assembly, to send Barnabas and Saul out to do the mission work that the Lord had called them to do, and that's what that church did. That's exactly what that church did. Look in Matthew chapter 28. It is maybe what could be described as frustrating to try and approach this subject from a new angle or from a fresh angle. It's hard to do so because the New Testament has so much to say about the Lord's church. And the New Testament has so many evidences that the Lord saves many people. But he doesn't place all of those saved folks in a church. The Lord saves many people, and he doesn't place all of those people in one of his churches, but he blesses some by placing them in one of those churches. Some are given that blessed privilege. And all through the New Testament, you find references to the church. You find references to the Lord's church, and you find references to the saved and who the Lord adds to the church. It just gets frustrating to figure out how to approach the subject. We're just trying to look at what the meaning is, a called out assembly of baptized believers. What are they called out from? They're called out from the masses of the saved. What is a church? A church is a called out assembly, a called out congregation. the Lord called out from the masses the apostles, ordained them and sent them forth and had them be with him until he ascended back up to glory, and then he sent them forth to multiply after their kind. You see over and over again that the Lord places some, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in those two references gave us. He set some, but not all, in the Lord's churches. The Lord has churches all over the place in the New Testament. And in all those places where you could hope to find reference to one of the Lord's churches, you can find he places some in those churches, not everyone in those churches. There's a distinct, plain difference between all of the saved and the local, visible assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, going through these verses and these familiar passages, what more familiar passage could we look at than the Great Commission? Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying in verse number 18, all power. What's the word power mean? It means authority, all authority, and of course all physical power as well, and dominion. But principally, he has all authority in heaven and in earth. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem, his church. He says, as one who has all authority, he says to the church at Jerusalem, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The gospel record in Mark chapter 16, go and preach the gospel to every soul, everyone. That was the mission, to go and teach, to go and to preach all nations. Then it says, baptize all of those. Baptize all of those. Then it goes on to say, teach all of those. Can we not see that the church is sent forth to go into all the world and preach the gospel? That does not necessarily mean that they preach the gospel to every single human being on the face of this earth. Doesn't mean that at all. It means they were sent into all the world. They were sent with the gospel to preach the gospel to all nations. Who were they to baptize? All the people of the world? All the nations of the world? No, they were sent into all the world to preach the gospel as the Lord would lead and the Lord would allow them to go into all the nations. They were told to baptize those who are saved. Those are God's business. Well, you have the gospel being preached to everybody possible. Of those, you have folks being saved, and the church is called to baptize every one of those as much as possible. And then of all those you preach the gospel to, those that are saved, you're to baptize. Then it tells you to teach them all things. And I'm not taking anything away from Christ. I'm not taking away anything from his power. I'm not taking anything away from the commission. But they were told to go and preach the gospel everywhere they could, everywhere God would allow them. Not everywhere they went would be saved. Not everywhere they went would believe. But those that did believe, they were to baptize. That was going to be under the direction of God. And all of those who the Lord brought to scriptural baptism, they were to teach them. They were to teach them. Teach them to observe all things. That's in the context, I believe, of the church. So the Great Commission is to go into all the world, preaching and teaching to everyone without prejudice, as the Lord allows, baptizing those who the Lord saves. That's his business. And then those who the Lord saves, we baptize them, we teach them. We teach them to observe all things. Not everybody's going to be saved. Not everybody's going to be teachable. Not everybody's going to be made a part of the Lord's church. But that's the mystery of God that we simply accept and we don't wrestle with. We're told to preach. We're told to baptize. We're told to teach them to observe all things. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 17 and 18. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, small stone. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, small stone. And upon this rock, this cleft of this rock, this foundational rock, speaking of himself, Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my kind of church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my kind of church. The gates of death will not win. My church will prevail. And here's a passage of scripture that Catholicism and others have all mixed up. They think Peter is the rock. Peter is the foundation. Peter is the one the Lord's promising to build his church upon. Peter's a small stone, as the definition is found by looking up Peter. This rock, Christ is speaking of himself. This foundation rock upon himself. Jesus is the rock. And he says, upon myself, I will build my kind of church. There will be other kinds. There will be many other kinds. But I will build my kind of church, and the gates of death will not prevail against it. That's another place where you find perpetuity. That's another place where you find Jesus promising, I started it, I'm going to continue to build it, and I'm going to still be building it when I come again for it. Any period of time you want to go in since Christ was here, you want to go back in any period of time over the last 2,000 years, and somewhere, someplace, you're going to find one of the Lord's churches. It has to be. It has to be. The gates of hell could never have prevailed. They could never have prevailed. The gates of death could never have prevailed. The Lord's kind of church has always existed. As we talk about our church's history and being able to go church by church by church all the way back into England, back into Wales. Name by name, place by place, we can find the history of our church. Can we do that through all the winding periods of time over the last 2,000 years back to Jesus Christ? By faith, we believe we can. By faith, we accept we can because of the pattern of Scripture and because we have that pattern that we can trace ourselves back all the way into England and back as it eventually would wind up going back to the church at Jerusalem. But I want to say something strange, and this might be offensive to some of you. We don't have to prove. We just have to believe. Jesus said it was so. He sent forth his church to start after its kind, to continue to exist. He promised the gates of hell would not prevail against it. As we find our church here today, and we can go back hundreds of years back into Wales and see our church's history, by faith, we know. We go back to Christ. We go back to Christ. There's a church in downtown Wastion. I can't remember the name of the church right now. It's right there by the library. And they have a cornerstone stating that They go back to 30, I think it's 30 AD on that cornerstone. And they have nothing to rest that upon. We believe, we go back to Christ and the apostles. And we have the Word of God to rest that upon. And we have the authority of the Word of God. And we have the authority of Jesus Christ. We have the pattern of Jesus Christ. We have the marks of a New Testament Baptist church to rest that upon. And Baptists don't talk about it much anymore. I don't know why we cringe away from the subject, but we believe we go back to the time of Christ and the apostles. We believe Christ started his kind of a church during his personal ministry. He placed those apostles in it and sent them forth to multiply after their kind. And we believe she has up to this present time. We are Baptists and should not be ashamed to be called Baptist. In Matthew chapter 18, Romans chapter 16. Romans 18 talks about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the discipline of a church against a member that is unrepentant of sin. And I think it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Those two or three are not all the saved on the earth at any given time. Those two or three are those who the Lord has placed. The Lord has placed in his church. It's where he has placed those two or three and given the name of Jesus Christ as their authority that they continue. In Romans 16, we won't turn there, but there's several churches mentioned there in different locations. I think there's at least twice there where churches are referenced that are meeting in people's homes, people's physical, literal homes. In all of those various churches that are referenced there are proof positive that the Lord doesn't place everybody in a church. Not everybody who is in a church is made up of some universal body that makes up the church. But the Lord has his churches all over the world. He adds to them as it pleases him, and he maintains it as it pleases him. And the work is his, and the work is to his honor and his glory. This is so weighty. This is so easily a truth to get bogged down in. But I'm making a point in all of these thoughts. I'm making the point that if you'll get it, if you really get church truth, I've used the word revolutionize. It'll change everything you believe. It'll have such an impact upon your life if you really understand that a church is a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. A church isn't all the saved. A church isn't a building. The church isn't all the people in one particular place. A church is a called out assembly. Wherever you find a called out assembly, I don't care if there's only 8 or 9. I don't care if there's 40 or 50. I don't care if there's 100 or 120. It doesn't matter. Wherever you find a called out assembly, then you find the work of the Lord being done, and it'll bless your heart if you understand what a church is. Why do we do what we do? Why don't we do what we do? And I had a whole list of things I wanted to get into. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Everybody else is doing that. Well, when you understand what a church is, you'll understand why we don't do this, why we don't do that, why we don't allow that, why that isn't a part of Faith Baptist Church. If God will let us get what a church is, a call-out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith, if God will let us get it, it'll be more wonderful in our eyes than it's ever been before. And I really believe, without apology, I really believe now more than ever we need to get this. These are the days when hell is rising up. These are the days when religion is rising up. These are the days when all the forces of the world are rising up, not just against Christ, but against His church. And we need to know what a church is, lest we fall, lest we be destroyed in all the horrors of these days. Let's stand.